great pleasure to, an honor to be able to speak today. And I am, you as Brother Herb has told you, to the Primitive Baptist for about 2 years. But I am, I guess, the youngest preacher here today, as far, maybe not by age, but by ordination or preaching the gospel. So I pray that you will pray for me, and because I have come to believe and love the doctrines of the sovereignty of God, and that I do believe that He is in control of all things, at all times, with all people in all places.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you today that I'm here not by accident, but I'm here on purpose.
Yeah.
On God's purpose.
Yes.
And so I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that the Lord included me in His elect family. And as I appreciate all that's been said today. And so it is a privilege, and we should count it a privilege, to be a child of God.
Yeah.
And so we, as the children of God, have responsibilities, and we have obligations that God has put upon us that we are to fulfill, and we are to be faithful in that. Because according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, He says, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we perform good works because that we have the grace of God, and He has, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So He has foreordained that we should walk in those things that He has laid down in His word for us to do. Now, in Matthew chapter 5 is concerning the Sermon on the Mount, and this is really, I just want to mention this before I get started. But we see here, and I believe in the importance of the child of God being a member of one of His New Testament churches. And we see here in Matthew chapter 5, where He is beginning His Sermon on the Mount, which is the Beatitudes here, and we notice that in seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And then He started teaching them the Beatitudes. So I believe that He teaches His church in a special way. When He saw a multitude, He pulled His nucleus of His New Testament church over to the side and to the mountain and taught them some things. In the first six, we won't go through them right now, but the first six verses of that chapter is that God was admonishing them and telling them how the relationship that we are to be with Him.
Yeah.
Our relationship between God and us. Well, the next six verses through 12, I believe it was teaching that our relationship that we were to have to each other. and to treat mankind, and to have fellowship one with the other. Now, what I want to speak today on is in Matthew chapter 7, and I want to begin reading with verse 13. The Lord here, after ending, coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, He is closing out here and giving some, if you want to say, choices or conditions that we will be confronted with. And so these are presented in a series of the contrast of two ways. So we see here there are two paths. 13 and 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the strait or the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that finds it." So staying on the straight and the narrow path are that leads to life. The broad path leads to destruction. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus told some people one day, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." So that's pretty straight and narrow, isn't it? The way of God is straight. He doesn't give us any wiggle room in His way that He wants us to serve Him. And that being, and when we get into His way, there is no turning back, because He says, "I call my sheep by name, I know them, and no one can pluck them out of my hands," according to John. And so that there is no turning back. And as being a country boy, I remember how that, you know, what a cattle chute is, and you that have cattle. And it is a real narrow, and when you put a cow in there to load it on a trailer or something, it's impossible for it to turn around and come back. So once we have been enlightened by the Spirit of God, that there is no turning back, because the Scripture says that we are not the ones that have turned back and go back to perdition. Because we can't, because God's mercy and grace sees to it that He keeps us and He preserves us. And so He is the author and the finisher of our faith. In John, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'll begin reading with verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So I am thankful today for the grace of God and the sovereignty of God, that He is all powerful, that He is able to save to the uttermost, that He is our great high priest, and that He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And when as Brother Ray said a while ago of justification, when He says it's finished on the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom, and that gave us as His people access to go into the very presence of God, and we become kings and priests, that we don't have to have a man on this earth to go in on our behalf. We can go in through the grace and the power of and because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I'd like to go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 15 through 20. We see the two paths here. There's a narrow and there's a broad. The narrow is the way to life through Jesus Christ. The broad is the world, and it is to destruction. 15. Beware of false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now we see two trees here. The good tree is a tree that conforms to the doctrines of the Scripture and to what God has said. 1 John 2 and 6 says that if any man abides in Christ, then he should also walk as he walked. I believe that's what it says, if I remember right. 1 John 2 and 6. Sometime my memory might slip. 1 John 2 and 6. It says, he that saith that he abideth in him, both himself also to walk even as he walked. So we, as the tree that brings forth fruits and follows the Scriptures, then we're to walk as he walked, if we claim that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4 says, he that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The corrupt tree does not conform to the Scriptures. 1 John chapter 3 and 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So, we are to conform, and we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. There's also two professions. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in their name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So, you know, there's a difference in professions than it is positions. Now, we can say all day long that we love something, that we love God, but according to John 14 and verse 15, is the Lord told the people there, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So that's pretty simple, isn't it? So if we say that we love God, that really doesn't mean much. We could tell our wife or our children we love you, but if we don't ever show any affection or any motion toward them or do anything for them, that don't really mean anything. So it is the same with us as professing Christians. Children of God is that we say we love God. He said, "Well, if you do, do what I say. Keep my commandments." So, but it's be a lot of people in that day say, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done these mighty works?" And I think we probably see a lot today on television that is doing the same thing, casting out devils. They go under the disguise of healing and getting glory unto himself. But the only healer is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, he it is that is a genuine saved individual." So it's not necessarily all that we say, but it is our actions and the things that we carry out, because we know that if it's what we do is from the heart and not from the head. So we see the two trees. The good tree will bring forth good fruit, because God, the scripture says, it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, we're going to bear fruit because God is going to work that in us, the desire to do so. So if you don't bear fruit, the scripture says it is hewed down and cast into the fire. We also see in verse 24 through 27, two foundations. Now we know that a foundation is important. Mm-hmm. I've been and worked for a metal building company for 47 years, and I've been affiliated with foundations, building metal buildings upon foundations, and you find out that you better have a good solid foundation if it's going to hold. So, and we're familiar with what is just, we've been hearing in Florida about that building crumbling. And I'm saying, they're wondering what happened, but I believe it's a foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the foundation. Something has happened that it's moved or give away or something. Because the scripture tells us that we are to build upon a solid, a sure foundation. Now, as the children of God, and we know that foundation, we find out in the scriptures, is Jesus Christ. And so Verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon the rock." Now, that word rock there in the Greek, I believe, is Petra. That means that it is a big boulder that cannot be moved. That it is solid and it is sure. "And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it failed not, for it was built upon that rock." It was built upon that rock. Now, how do we know that rock is Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ," or Petra. That rock. So we know the Old Testament movement of the tabernacle, the tent, and whenever it moved, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was the Shekinah glory of God following that. And that was a representation of God and Jesus Christ as being the rock that followed them. Now, we build upon a solid foundation. That's when we build, I believe, and we serve God through His New Testament church. I believe that this is where the Lord gets honor and glory from our service. And so we see here that the other foundation is the sand. Now this sand represents the opinions and the doctrines of men as opposed to the sayings of Christ. Now, if we build upon worldly things, the people that and the things that goes against Christ, this is going to crumble. It's not going to stand because it's not built upon the rock. Jesus taught with authority. In Matthew 28:18, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach," and I believe he's talking to his New Testament church here. "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world," or the ages. Amen. I believe the Lord's New Testament church will be going on through eternity, that we will be praising and serving and learning from God, from Jesus Christ, throughout eternity. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus without worlds, without end." So unto him is the glory through the church. And that's where I believe he gets his glory, is through his New Testament church throughout all ages, world without end. Proverbs 13:13 says, "Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandments shall be rewarded." So it behooves us as the elect of God, as the children of God, even as the church and the family of God, that we understand, as Nebuchadnezzar understands, has already been alluded to, the inhabitants of the earth is reputed as nothing. He has his way in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" Thank the Lord and praise be to our Lord.